The journey with Jesus is where we're going to delve into this morning. That scripture reading was just a little glimpse of Paul's journey with Jesus. As I was reading this week, I was thinking about these encounters that servants of Christ have on roads or on journeys, and we think of our life's journey. Paul's journey, Paul was one of the ones persecuting Christians, finding them, finding these followers of the way, putting them to death. And then he meets Jesus on that road. And he's blinded. And this morning we're talking about furthering on after the resurrection, and as people are coming to know, as Jesus' life is being announced, there's these followers on the road that are kind of blind in a different kind of way. Blind to Jesus walking with them. These stories of Jesus' transforming power in our lives on our journeys. What an amazing thing to think about, because each one of us has that story as we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. That transforming story. Well, there's a little bit of a different journey that happened with me and my family over the past couple of weeks. Last weekend, we got back from a family road trip. We journeyed all the way to Vancouver Island, to Victoria, and there we got to see flowers, blooming cherry trees, lush green golf courses. We got to see mountains. For a prairie boy, I mean, I think of Riding Mountain. I think those are kind of our mountains, right? But to drive through the Rockies, there is no chance that you're falling asleep. I've only been through the mountains one other time. But it is just breathtaking. And each kilometer along the way, along with making sure you're staying on the road, is just a great deal of thankfulness. Great deal of thankfulness for who God is. And as we did about 5,500 kilometers round trip, that was part of our journey. And that journey was with the goal in mind. We wanted to visit some of Becky's family. Becky is my wife, and her mom's family is from Vancouver Island, in Campbell River, in Courtney, Black Creek, and now her grandma is in a care home right in Victoria. So we got to spend some time with her. And our visit this time was a little bit different. Grandma is starting to become in those later stages of dementia. She's lost her short-term memory, and she started to revert back earlier and earlier, talking about her parents, talking about her age being very young. And we journey with her in those conversations, and for us it was every time we would visit would be new to her. Every day we would come, "Well, what do you mean you traveled that far?" And we would go over this journey that we had. And we had some laughs over that, but it was hard at the same time to see a woman that has been a teacher her whole life, and to see that mind deteriorating, but to see still the light of Christ in her life. And that was one of the things that I got to see as a chaplain when I was at the personal care home all of the time. You would see some of these minds and these bodies deteriorating, but you continue to see the Spirit of Christ in these people, in these brothers and sisters, as all of a sudden you say a common verse, or you say the verse of a hymn, and someone who is completely nonverbal will open their eyes, and a tear will stream down. These are journeys. With the kids, we also we're out there during Palm Sunday, so we had the opportunity to do the Palm Sunday service at the care home. Usually they have a video service or something like that, so we were able to lead the Palm Sunday service, and I led into the message with the phrase that we often hear on family road trips. What is it? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? The nice thing is about some of these newer vehicles, we have a little screen in front that we can jog in the destination, and it always has a time there. And so, you know, look at that. We don't like our kids to look at screens all the time, but you know what? It's saved on some of those, are we there yet? We still got them. And many of you chuckle because either you have experienced that from your own kids, or you've been that person. Maybe you still are that person, I don't know. But it's that anticipation. How about that anticipation and that expectation of the coming Messiah? What is to come? Where are we at now? What is to come? The Anointed One, the Christ. He rose from the dead. He's coming back for His church. The people were desperate to know, when is He coming? Is He here yet? In this passage that we're going to talk about, is He here yet? And many remain blind. They remain blind from His presence, and He was right there. He would teach in their churches. He would perform miracles. And yet, it was always, they wanted proof that He was the Messiah, yet everything was directing them towards Him. But their foolishness, their selfish reality, couldn't get beyond themselves. Even today, many remain blind when the Savior of the world is walking right beside them. And that is where we're going to lead into today. I invite you to pray with me. Father in heaven, You are good. Lord, thank You for teaching us. Thank You for walking with us. We pray that You would walk especially near to us today as we open Your word. Amen. How fitting it is that we sing a song like Face to Face. Those are beautiful words. One of my favorite hymns to sing. Thank you for that song selection. I want you to keep those lyrics. Face to face with Christ my Savior. I want to keep that churning through your head as we delve into this scripture this morning. Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. Yep, it's a bit of a lengthy passage, but it is a wonderful story as you enter in to what is happening here. Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. The road to Emmaus. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all of the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes are kept from recognizing Him. And He said to them, "What is the conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered Him, "Are you the only visitor who does not know the things that have happened here these days?" And He said to them, "What things?" Remember, this is Jesus talking to them. And they said to Him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered Him up to be condemned and to death and to crucify Him. But He had hoped that He was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find His body, they came back saying, They had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who went with us to the tomb and found just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Now Jesus says to them, and he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. And they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were there gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. What an amazing retelling, isn't that? To think of that story and those characters within that story, we can't help but put ourselves on that road and picture ourselves there as Jesus comes up and talks with us. I want you to think about a couple of these questions as we continue. Have you ever had that experience when you can't see something and it's right in front of you? Yeah, I know you laugh because definitely all of the men laughed. It's when we go to the fridge and we say, I can't find it. It's not in there. And your wife says, yes, it is. I says, no, it's gone. And then she comes. Yeah, this is nicely organized and it's right here. That's just one of many examples. But we have those things. They're right there in front of us. And we just get sidetracked or we get somewhere else in our heads. But think about that. As how about when you look for God, but you feel you can't sense his presence? You get caught up in these feelings. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, they felt this way. But Jesus, he's walking there with them the whole time. Talking to them, questioning them. They're walking in confusion. I think we're allowed to chuckle a little bit at a story like this. But the reality is that we also must do a fair bit of self-examination as we see something like this happen, and what our own walk with Christ looks like in that. The story is about two relatively unknown followers, Cleopas and companion, and they are journeying over 7 miles between Jerusalem and Emmaus, which is, yeah, about 7.5 miles. And this would be a journey that is taking about an hour and a half, I guess, depending on what's all going on and how the roads were and how your footwear is. And if Jesus shows up beside you and starts preaching, Jesus draws near to them. So at the beginning of these verses, they're walking along. Jesus comes up beside them. I don't think he puts his arm around them, but I just picture him kind of putting his arm around them. Says who he is. And is curious. He's sees these guys talking. He sees them very passionate and emotional in the way that they're talking. And then what does he say? Those red letter words in our Bible. Jesus said to them in verse 17, What is the conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? What is the conversation, they asked? What is the conversation? Are you the only person, they say, in Jerusalem who doesn't know what is going on or has gone on? What is the conversation? That's what you're going to ask us? Where in the world have you been? That's basically what they're saying. Where in the world have you been? Jesus, he doesn't answer specifically. But if he did, you can imagine that he'd have a pretty good answer of where he's been, eh? What has gone over these last few days and these days leading in, Jesus could say, you know what? I'm the one person who knows comprehensively every in and out of what has happened in these last few days. But there's a tone to that question. Where in the world have you been? Jesus could have said, well, let me start with last week. Let me start with last night. I was with some of my friends celebrating Passover. Then I went to pray. I went to pray, begging my Father concerning the mission before me. Jesus could have said, I stood before the Roman leader and he found no reason for guilt or interrogation. I find no fault in him, that leader said. About to release me, but the screaming crowd, what did they yell? Crucify him. Crucify him. And Pontius Pilate surrendered to the voices of the crowd. Jesus then could have said, they had me scourged, they had me beaten, they crowned me with a crown of thorns, and then they led me out of the city to a barren hillside called Golgotha. There I was executed by crucifixion on a cross. But I was not simply executed as a criminal to satisfy bloodthirsty men. I was given over to the wrath of God. The wrath that he placed upon me for the sins of the people. And finally, it ended. It was finished. I gave up my spirit to the care of my Father and I died. And they took me down from the cross, and instead of throwing me into that burning garbage pile called Gehenna on the outskirts of the city, this eternal burning garbage pile, there was a man, Joseph of Arimathea. He was a wealthy man, and he gave to me the empty tomb for me to be buried. They took my broken body. They put spices and grave clothes on me and closed the tomb with a guard standing outside. There, Jesus could have said, I was a corpse in the ground. And early this morning, a burst of creating power supernaturally returned to my body and I began to live. As I opened my eyes alive, angels came and rolled the stone away. And I walked out into dawn alive. Where have you been? And where have you been? But Luke doesn't give all of that in this encounter. No answers but rebuke. No answers but rebuke. Sometimes in our own struggles, we fail to see Jesus is right there with us. Quite often we like to do the talking, don't we? We like to do the figuring. We like to talk to others about how it's all working out in our minds. But what does James remind us to do? Be quick to speak and slow to listen? Be quick to listen and slow to speak. And I imagine that these followers are starting to listen. Cleopas and traveling mate continue to share their despair. And they're also sharing their disappointment. They're sharing this, what they have found. Their new friend along the road, they're sharing this with Jesus. They're sharing this despair with him. Then verse 25 we go to, and he says, within that, O foolish ones, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? This is not a matter of lack of intelligence for these followers. It's a lack of humility. It's a lack of faith. When reflecting on this passage, Pastor Warren Wiersbe, he writes, what was their basic problem? They did not believe all that the prophets had written about the Messiah. That was the problem with most of the Jews in that day. They saw Messiah as a conquering redeemer, but they did not see him as the suffering servant. As they read the Old Testament, they saw the glory, but didn't see the suffering. The crown, but not the cross. The teachers in that day were not unlike some of the success preachers today, blind to the story. Those are the words of Pastor Warren Wiersbe. And then we come to the greatest, some have called this, and I like how it was written, we come to the greatest sermon never written. The greatest sermon never written, as we called it. So Jesus, he's slowly prodding at these guys. He's talking with them. And then what does he do? He begins to preach. And it wasn't like, okay, I get up here and I line up my notes and I line up, make sure my microphone is in the right spot and everything. He started to talk with them. He started to share these truths. And in a casual way that these followers, they kind of figured something was going on. Imagine the greatest teacher explaining the greatest themes from the greatest book and bringing the greatest blessings to these men. Perhaps Jesus would have started in Genesis. He would have started in Genesis, probably Genesis 3, the first promise of a Redeemer. And then he probably would have traced through the Scriptures. And he would have traced through and maybe lingered in Genesis 22 a little bit. Many of us are familiar with that one as Abraham places his son on the altar. Surely he touched on the first Passover, the Levitical sacrifices, the tabernacle ceremonies, the Day of Atonement, the serpent in the wilderness, the suffering servant in Isaiah 53, and the prophetic messages of Micah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Psalm 22 and 69, the list goes on. What a sermon that must have been. He did not teach them only doctrine or prophecy. He taught them the things concerning himself, is what the scripture says. Luke is telling these stories in a specific way to get the point across to his reader. And now we experience the same kind of emphasis. We love the way that he is personally telling this, and he retells it, and the emotion that it's written from is understandable. That's why so many of these stories, so many of these truths, we can see ourselves in it, because Luke is so concerned at bringing that side of reality into the story. That we feel it. Like last Sunday, Trevor took us through the first part of this passage. And in many ways, upon reading that passage, it seems incomplete or lacking emphasis, but it points us to the real emotion that these first believers were feeling. The despair, the confusion, the bewilderment, but really, the foolishness. The foolishness. Oh, you foolish ones. Last Sunday we read those words that the angels announced, He is not here, but He is risen. And there they continue in their unbelief. They continue in their despair. Luke is putting his reader, his listener, he's putting him into the story. Just like you and I, we start to see ourselves in that story. He's putting aspects of himself in the story. And it's a very intentional way of writing. Now back to our text. Can you see yourself on that road? Can you see yourself on that road walking with Jesus? Possibly so blinded by your sadness, so blinded by your despair, so blinded by the hopelessness of the situation that has just fallen out from under, that you can't even see the new life that stands right beside you. We've been given this holy word. We've been given this holy word, the Bible, to light our path. We have been given the Holy Spirit. We have been adopted into God's family, the family of God, yet I know I quite often stand as a fool. I quite often stand as a fool. I stand feeling sorry for myself and concentrating on the woes that I must endure in life. I concentrate on the injustices that I must face when peace, love, forgiveness, and truth stand right in front of me. If only I could recognize Jesus and how much He cares. Sometimes in our own struggles, we fail to see that Jesus is right there with us. Eventually that will go forward. Yeah. Listening and responding. Renewed passion, no, doesn't matter which, forward, okay, recognizing, and we're going one, the joys of technology, hey, that's wonderful, I like slides and I don't at the same time, we respond, now the Spirit of God, and recognizing this dynamic duo, they arrive in Emmaus. They arrive along with Jesus. And Jesus intends to keep on traveling. He intends to keep on traveling. And this is where those two followers, they do a relatively good job. They start to show hospitality. And so, they sit down and they convince Jesus. They show hospitality. Loving their neighbor. Showing hospitality in the way that we are told. In Hebrews, we are told that we might be entertaining angels at some point. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. They've gotten this part of it right. They sat down at the table. They started to break bread together. And Jesus, I don't know, as he's breaking bread, I'm sure they can see his hands. And on those hands, what do you think they see? They see those scars. They see those holes. And at that point, just picture it. That point, their eyes are open and he vanishes. And they're just sitting there. What just happened? We just realized that it was him all this time. He broke the bread. We saw that whole... There's this emotional moment and then he vanishes. We have moments in life like that all the time. I find myself, you can get caught up in this selfishness, caught up in your own thoughts and your own injustices, and then all of a sudden you have this aha moment, like, oh, come on, Aaron, where were you at? It was right there in front of you. Jesus was right there in that with you. We can often say that as we talk about things in our past, things that we wanted God to work out the way we wanted them to be worked out. That's a lot of words to say. We think we know best. I am so thankful that so many of my prayers are answered, but answered in the way that I would have never expected, or that I would have never moved. Jesus will continue to guide. And now they're caught up in how do we respond to this. They're left, okay, I'm holding the bread. He's vanished. We don't exactly know what that looks like, if he just went like that, or he passed through the wall, or if he got up really quickly and left. But they're left with this realization. The Spirit of God pierced their souls and their hearts as they said to each other. And we see right at the front of your bulletins. The front of your bulletins has a verse on it that many of us can relate to. And they said to each other in verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road? When we read this, I think many of us can relate. Many of us can easily relate to that excitement. Their eyes were open. They're putting all these pieces together. Oh, that sermon, how these things were working together. And now they want to tell someone. It's just like that little kid who has, maybe they've got a creation, a Lego creation, or they've just done a coloring, and they're excited to share it with someone. They're excited to share that with someone, that light in their life. And now these followers are eager to share. And that's what it's all about. Our faith, our reality of new life in Jesus Christ, in the victory that only he can give. Truly encountering Christ and moved to respond. The sorrow, that despair that they were feeling, that despair is turned into urgency. That despair is turned into joy to share the good news. And I just remember the image that was shared last Sunday. Last Sunday, Trevor put a picture up here. One that many of us, the first word that came to mind was despair. Complete emotional and physical brokenness. That's what I saw in that picture. It was hard to look at. Brokenness is what God calls for in us. That in that despair, that he would be glorified. However, this despair can be transformed. It's transformed into an incredible testimony. God uses these stories, even in our lives, those times that we are in despair, those times that we are experiencing that, we can be in the midst of that, and God is using that for His glory. He's using those truths. He's using that story that you have. He's using those experiences that you just can't seem to get over. It's because He wants to proclaim His forgiveness and His truth to people around you. And you are the main listener to that because you know it so deeply. The salvation that only Jesus Christ can offer. Jesus opened the scriptures today, revealing how His suffering was a part of God's plan. Understanding God's word deepens our faith. May our response to His truth be one of humility. May our response today be one of humility. That we would never be held to the account that, oh, you foolish one, at the end of our lives. Focusing so closely on ourselves that we have trouble seeing the joy. We have trouble seeing the rest. We have trouble seeing the peace of Christ that is walking right beside us. That those who believe shall not perish, but experience eternal life with Him. Where are you in your journey with Jesus today? Where are you in that journey with Jesus? Are you still walking in confusion and despair? Or have you recognized the Savior? We could advance the next slide, please. Today we stand beside Jesus. And how we respond to Jesus standing there is a decision that we have to make. There's also a day to come when we will stand beside Jesus in death. We stand beside Jesus today in our live bodies. There's a day that will come when we stand beside Him in death. What does that journey look like? There's a day that we may stand beside Him in His second coming. If He comes before that day, that we shall pass in death. Fix your eyes on Him. Fix your eyes on Him. And the journey. We're going to close with a song that brings and wraps all of this together. As we picture ourselves on that road, wherever we're at, we think of that road, and what does it look like to take the name of Jesus with you? Jesus, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven, take the name of Jesus with you. Let's pray and then I'll call the song team up to close us in song. God, thank you for your message. Thank you for your message of hope and joy in the midst of what we see often as uncertainty and despair and hopelessness. And that's because there is a lot of despair without you. And in that brokenness, may we look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith, that in the name of Jesus Christ, that we would have victory over sin and over death in new life in you. Amen.